is breaking, a stormy night, the battle is raging in ruthless plight. Soldiers giving their life for a life. Defenders
sure that does it. I need this. Okay, I want this one. I need this all. Yeah, go ahead. Very good. I have a coin here that says, thousands died for my freedom. One died for my soul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. When I saw this less than 5-minute movie, I wanted you to see it. And so, folks made it possible for us to see it. Proverbs 24:14. Know that wisdom is for your soul. If you find it, therefore will be future, and your hope will not be cut off. Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be fearful or dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Psalm 91:11, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. Proverbs 24:3, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. And Psalm 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our reading. We deal today with the subject, from the stable to the table. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Father, this is an important time for all of us. We are here today to remember what our Savior has done and is doing for us. This is a magnificent time in our lives when we have some silent time, some quiet time, to reminisce and to let our minds recapitulate and be aware of the fact that you have tremendously blessed us and that we have been so magnificently and wonderfully provided for in every way, and we thank you for it. And we ask that you'll be with us in these moments, that we may have our hearts in tune, and that we'll be able to receive what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen you see Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he entered into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not wish, but a body you did prepare for me. I would invite you to turn to your Old Testament. Go, if you will, please, to Psalm 40, verse 6, 7 and 8. Psalm 40, 6, 7 and 8. Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. The law is within my heart. And you go back to Hebrews chapter 10. If you'll notice, please, when we back up a few verses, you'll see in verse 5, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the roll of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. In these moments, we deal with a subject from the stable to the table. And as I share this with you today, I believe it will be a tremendous blessing just as these new thoughts have come to me. Jesus Christ was born to die, lying in the cradle, within a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, death clothes, is the greatest gift that has ever been presented to mankind. From that birth, over the next 33 years, much will happen, leading from the stable to the table, upon which the Last Supper would be served. The Scripture says, in remembrance of me, we see that statement, in remembrance of me, on thousands of tables in churches around the world where the Eucharist is observed. When this time is set aside, it is a time of remembrance. We remember a lot of things during these quiet moments that we have even today. The Lord Jesus Christ has made a difference in our past, in our present, and in our future. Jesus was God's gift. That's what we find in Hebrews chapter 10. And then when we go over to verse 10, we find it quite interesting in Hebrews 10:10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. This is a gift of redemption, the spotless Lamb of God. I have to tell you that I'm finding things, and always will, which is so fantastic. When you study the Word of God from the original language, there will be times when things will seem to just jump out and grab you. Things you've never thought of before. Things you've never seen before. Things that you've never studied in your past years. One of those things has taken place in my life over the last few weeks as I came to the study, getting ready for the Lord's table today. You may wonder why this subject, from the stable to the table. What I want to share with you, the fact is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but it does not say that Joseph and Mary arrived just in time for her to be delivered. Perhaps you are aware of the fact that it was about 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, so it's unlikely that they waited to the last minute. Also, when you go to Luke chapter 2, verse 6, it implies that they were in Bethlehem for a while before Jesus was born, because the Scripture says, and I quote, while they were there, the days were completed. That's the first thing that I want to mention by way of introduction. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But it does not say that Joseph and Mary arrived just in time for her to be delivered. The thing that has amazed me so much is, number two, the Bible makes no mention of an innkeeper who told them that the inn was full, even though we've heard this many times. The word that I want to present to you is the word kataluma, K-A-T-A-L-U-M-A. Kataluma. Perhaps you've never heard that word before, and that's okay. I want you to really be able to see what that word is today. Kataluma is used for inn, I-N-N. The same word is used in Luke chapter 22, verse 11. And there it is translated in some of the various translations, guest room. The Greek language has a word for hotel or inn. In fact, in Luke chapter 10, verse 34, the Good Samaritan took the beaten man to the inn. But the Greek word that is used there is pandosion, and paid the innkeeper. And the Greek word there is pandosia. It's interesting to me to see that there's a word, kataluma, that is used at the time that Jesus Christ came on the scene as a little baby. In Luke chapter 2, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called in Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in death clothes, swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. And the Greek word there for manger is P-H-A-T-N-E, phatne. And then it says, because there was no room in the inn. And the word inn is kataluma. That's the word I want you to get in your mind, kataluma. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 22, Jesus now is getting to the close of his life, and he's calling together his disciples. In chapter 22, verse 11, it says, and you shall say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And that word guest room, when I found it in the Greek, was the same Greek word, kataluma. And that was the reason why I was able to say, from the stable to the table. From the stable to the table. The same Greek word, kataluma, is used. I'm sure that you know that Joseph and Mary had other children. In Matthew 13:55, if you want to write it down, you can find that there's not the emphasis upon perpetual virginity, as some emphasize. Joseph and Mary had James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, found in Matthew 13:55 and 56, and Mark chapter 6, verse 3. It's interesting to me to see what Jesus did in his life. He was with his parents, and he went to Egypt. How long he was there, we do not actually know. The Bible tells us that God spoke to his earthly dad when he was safe, when it was safe for him to go back to Israel, and that's what they did. When he was about 12 years of age, he sat, the scripture says, with teachers of the temple. When his parents became very concerned when they discovered him not to be in the caravan. Somewhere along the line, his dad died, and he took upon himself a heavy responsibility for the care of his mother and the family members. We don't usually think about that. He was perhaps involved in the marriages of his sisters and the careers of his brothers. The scripture lets us know that he was a carpenter. He worked very diligently. His work was a great part of his life's involvements. From 12 until he was to begin his public ministry, we have 18 years of family responsibility. What I did was take a few moments to look at this. Birth, Israel, Bethlehem. Infant, Egypt. Youth, Israel, Nazareth, carpenter. Age 12, about the master's business. Age 12 through 30, involved in industry, family responsibilities. Public ministry begins at 30, Jordan, Jericho, Samaria. Rejection by his own in Nazareth, ministry in Galilee, Capernaum, Sea of Galilee, ministry in Judea, Israel, Jerusalem, Judea, ministry in Perea, Jordan, back to Judea, Jerusalem, Israel, Judea, Jerusalem. Just looking at all these places. The final week of his life, trial, arrest, execution, Judea, Jerusalem again, resurrection. From the stable to the table. I don't have time today to go into that in great detail. But I want you to know, many, many times when I studied, it seems like, as I've said many times, the letters become bold and capitalized. And then I know you think that I'm thinking very strangely now, but in essence, it seems that they just rise up and grab me. And when I feel that they grab me, they ought to be grabbing you. And that's the reason why I say a lot of the things that I say here. When I saw that the word stable, crib, manger, and I analyzed that to find out what all it had to mean, and then realized that that same word, kataluma, is used over here when Jesus is taking his disciples together to present the observance of the last Eucharist. That may not do all that much for you, but it does a whole lot for me. I'll go again to Luke chapter 22. Let me read it to you. And you shall say to the owner of the house, the teacher is saying to you, where is the kataluma in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there. And they departed and found everything just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And having taken a cup, when he had given thanks, he said, take, eat, and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And having taken some bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the book of Hebrews, we have the presentation of his body. In Psalm, there's a quote that we have in the book of Hebrews from Psalm 40, verse 6. And the emphasis there is upon the piercing of an ear. And you may wonder, what in the world does that mean? Many of you, years past, have heard me preach on this subject, but let me remind you what that means. There were individuals who were slaves. And oftentimes, after a number of years, they were set free as slaves. But many, many times, slaves became so attached to their masters and so appreciative of their masters and the love and the kindness and the provisions of their masters, they would say, when the time was up for them to leave, I don't want to leave. You don't want to leave? No, I don't want to leave. Well, are you willing to accept a symbol of the fact that you don't want to leave? Yes. Well, back against this pole, pull out your ear and let us drill a hole through your ear. Pierce ear. Which indication is that you now are committed to the Master for the rest of your life. From the stable to the table. The Lord's Supper, in my opinion, as you all also know, is a time of commitment and remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done and is doing and will do for us. And we, in essence, should be saying to Him, here's my ear. Pierce it. Drill a hole through it. Because I want you to know that this is a symbol of the fact that you are my master. And I'm dedicated to you for the rest of my life. You see it? When they came together at the Cataluma. Cataluma is used in relationship to the crib, the stable. It's used in relationship to the table. Did you folks get that message? That brings us to the observance of the Lord's table. We bow for a moment of prayer as our men come to prepare us for this magnificent time. May we bow for prayer, please. The first prayer is a prayer of restoration to fellowship. We're told that when we come to observe the Lord's table, the most important thing is that our hearts be in attune and in fellowship with our Lord. And so for that reason, we spend these moments in prayer, giving ourselves time to be in harmony. We're not to observe the Lord's table while out of fellowship. We are to be in harmony and fellowship with our Lord as we partake of the elements today. Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is such a wonderful time for us. We're here because we remember what our Lord has done. He saved us by His grace. He keeps us on a daily basis and blesses us so richly. And so we pray that during these moments, as we observe the Lord's table today, that we will have our hearts in harmony, in tune with our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we healed. The bread represents Christ, whose body was broken for us. Take and eat thereof. Father, we're thankful today that our Savior was willing to give everything that we might be the recipients of life and eternal life. And we are here today because of that magnificent gift of life and eternal life. We bow to express our thanks today for the willingness of our Savior to come to the earth and go to the cross to pay that supreme sacrifice for us. We pray that You will guide us in these moments. We thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. It is also our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. We have not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. Remember, as we take this cup, we remember His willingness to be our substitute. Take and drink thereof. We're going to sing now as we stand together, page 324. When I survey the wondrous cross, 3:24. May we stand together, please. Come close, so